how blessed we are to have the support of our Clemson family. We can't wait to welcome you to our luxury condo hotel. You've never experienced Clemson quite like this. As we prepare to open our doors, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your support, and we look forward to seeing you at Lakeside Lodge for game day, lake day, or any day. Come see us at 906 Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesday or online at LakesideLodgeClemson.com. Happy holidays and go Tigers.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
And it just keeps getting better.
Back to Quan and Kelly.
I got my first real six string.
Number three, Out of Bounds. William Quagmire, Kelly Gramlich, Will Vannevor from the ClemsonSider.com going to join us, as he typically does in this segment, at 2:05 p.m. Eastern, 1:05 p.m. Central Time, where I am in Iowa City, Iowa. Kelly Gramlich back in the Priority One Security Studios. If you're over in sort of near where Kelly is and you've got a catered event coming up, then you might need Your Pie of Clemson. That's right, folks. Your Pie now offers catering. Brand new menu items, including fresh baked pasta like cheesy Alfredo, meatball marinara, and pesto chicken. Delicious panini platters like the Italian, turkey club, ham and cheese. Fresh Caesar, Greek and Caprese salad bowls, and all your favorite fresh mouth-watering pizzas, plus chips, brownies, drinks, and more. Place your order today, 643-4180. That's Your Pie Clemson. Doug and Denise Zerbel, they open Your Pie in Clemson for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is that they want to be part of this community. They wanted to give back. They wanted to allow people an opportunity to connect through philanthropic efforts, and that's why they won the 2018 Community Engagement Award from the Your Pie franchise for the highest financial and personal involvement in their community. This is helping neighbors, folks. This is helping people that go to church with you, that go to school with your kids. This is helping people that you know and you love and you care about. Your Pie Clemson, helping your community one pie at a time. And by the way, they have great food, and they cater so, so well. Pleased to be joined now by Will Vannevor from the ClemsonInsider.com, who joins us right now as he does every single week. What's up, Willie B?
Hey, Clark. Hey, Kelly. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing great, my man. First of all, I talked to you a little bit yesterday about ACC Championship. I want to get to that, but Dabo's rant yesterday got people all in a tizzy, basically, as is customary whenever Dabo steps behind a mic. I have said that I think no one actually cares about the games that Clemson plays anymore. It's all about whatever Dabo says when he steps behind the mic. What was your reaction to the things that Dabo Swinney said yesterday in defense of his program and maybe lashing out a bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, Coach Swinney's always going to, if he feels like his guys are getting slighted a little bit, he's always going to he's gonna come up and take care of them. And, you know, I think a lot of it started with Travis not getting the being a finalist for the, Doak Walker Award, which I think Dabo has a lot of beef about because what did Travis Etienne just win today? The two-time ACC Player of the Year is going to be a finalist as the best running back in the country. Yeah, so I think he's got some legitimate beef. I thought that anyway. When you look at Travis's, when you look at his yards per carry compared to everybody else, and he's got like 100 less than the leading rusher in the country. So I think it started there, and then that just allowed it. Just I think allowed everything else to kind of boil up for him. I think the main point though Dabo kind of made was, and this is what I got out. This is my personal take, and I take it like as Dabo. He mentioned several times that Clemson doesn't get the benefit of the doubt that other teams do. And I think what he's referring to is the fact that early in the year when Clemson lost that game to North Carolina – excuse me, see, I just did it. When Clemson – I know, right? When Clemson almost lost that game to North Carolina, that they fell to number two in the polls and then went on a bye week, came back, won by 31 points, and fell to number three in the polls, came back the next week and won by 35 points and fell to number four in the polls. I think Dabo kind of like, what in the world's going on here? This wouldn't happen to basically, he didn't say this, but it's what I'm thinking he's thinking. This doesn't happen to Alabama. I remember 2 years ago, Alabama was undefeated and was, or maybe it was 2016, was undefeated, was at Mississippi State, and needed a last-minute touchdown to beat Mississippi State down there in Starkville. And I believe that was a 7-5, something like that, Mississippi State team. And Alabama stayed number one in the country, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's kind of Dabo's point. It's like, basically, he doesn't believe that they should never fail for number one. So everybody's like, well, why is he worried about the number three? He shouldn't worry about it. He's not in that sense. I think he's more in the sense of they really should have never lost their number one ranking, because it would have been, if it would have been Ohio State undefeated and did the things they've done this year, they'd still be number one. If it had been Alabama that started the season number one and did and went through the season like Clemson did, they'd still be number one. And I think there's Dabo's point right there. And I think it started with the Associated Press poll, and they dropped Clemson to number two after that North Carolina game. They were kind of looking for it because they kept bringing up Trevor's interceptions like it was the reason Clemson was losing games, even though they were winning by 30-something points. They just made it bigger and bigger each week. And then finally they got that opportunity, and they decided to drop Clemson there. And here's a stat for you, Quark. Clemson is the only team in the history of the Associated Press poll, which began in 1936. They're the only team in the history of the Associated Press poll to be the preseason number one and at the end of the regular season be undefeated and are ranked number three in the country. Nobody's ever been further. No preseason number one has dropped further than number two. And keep in mind, Clemson was number four at one point, which was also the first time that has ever happened for the preseason number one ranked team. So without a loss, that is. So that was kind of, you know, I think he's got a leg to stand on somewhat. And it's not so much he cares what the media thinks as much as he knows that it's to him, it's just disrespect to his team this year for what they've done and for this program overall, that they don't get the benefit of the doubt that some other programs get on a year-to-year basis.
Well, Levy, speaking of that, and speaking of Clemson and the number one ranking, I thought it was interesting that Rob Mullins did not rule out the idea that Clemson could be number one when it's all said and done, when the final rankings come out on Sunday. Do you think there's any truth to this, or was he just being kind of politically correct?
Yeah, it's interesting that he kind of alluded to the fact that Clemson is in the conversation with number one, and I guess that makes sense because they rank the top three teams. And I'll be honest with you, Kelly, I think when you look at the three teams right now at this point in the season and the way they're playing, I think it's hard for anybody to argue that Clemson isn't playing the best of anybody in the country. And there's a reason why you're hearing people say, well, if you're LSU and Ohio State, you don't want to play Clemson right now. Because I think they ultimately believe Clemson's the best team in the country. And so I think, but because of the resume, they can't really put Clemson there because Clemson had already fallen. And there already been this preseason, this perception put out there by ESPN and the Associated Press poll writers and then the coaches later on that Clemson wasn't as strong as they were a year ago, and they made them slip in the polls. And I think that did have the human element come into the selection committee's thought process when it came to Clemson. And I think they held that against Clemson in that first ranking when they put Clemson at number five because of a one-point win at North Carolina. I think it all kind of goes back to that. And then I think as the season's gone on, they kind of noticed, man, you know what? We maybe should have looked at this a little bit better. Clemson might be the best team in the country. But right now, because of the resume and where they had Ohio State and LSU to begin with, they can't make that argument to put Clemson up there.
Visiting Will Vandervoort from theclemsoninsider.com, @SteelerWill on Twitter. You can follow him there on Twitter, and it's always a good time. As far as Travis Etienne, Isaiah Simmons is concerned, offensive and defensive player of the year, Etienne won ACC player of the year. I know this is a first world problem. I'm going to be a little nitpicky here and say I'm not sure how, and I'll get on the Dabo Swinney soapbox for a second. I'm not sure how you can watch football this year and think, as 12 people did, 11 people did, that Bryce Perkins is the ACC player of the year to the exclusion of Travis Etienne. Or 12 people think that Bryce Perkins is a more deserving offensive player of the year than Travis Etienne, particularly when you look at the historic nature of his, not just this season. I hate career achievement awards, but that has to play into it somewhat. Were you surprised that it wasn't a little more unanimous, like, say, Isaiah Simmons, who got almost every vote for Travis Etienne on the offensive side from the ACC?
Yeah, I was a little, actually, because I just thought when you look at what Travis, I mean, I understand what Bryce Perkins means to his team. There's no doubt he is, without Bryce Perkins, Virginia's not there. I mean, you heard Bronco Mendenhall say that earlier this week, that, you know, without him, they're not playing in this game, and they don't have the season that they've had already to this point. But Travis Etienne is very important to this Clemson team. in the sense that he gets the ball going. He's the reason that you see T. Higgins and Justin Ross making these long touchdown receptions and these kind of plays, because without the running game, which is where it all begins for Clemson, that's how it all starts. And they need that. They need that play action game to get it going. And Travis Etienne and that offensive line are a big part of that. And then when you look at Travis's production, I think just stands out above anything. You know, when you look at six straight 100-yard games, you look at the fact he's the all-time record holder in the ACC in touchdowns. But even this year, you know, people think, well, he's not scored as many touchdowns as he did last year. Well, he's got 18 touchdowns this year, which on any other normal year that didn't involve 2018 Travis Etienne, that would have been a Clemson record. So you know, he's still very, very productive. And he's scoring a lot of touchdowns. He leads the ACC in total in rushing touchdowns. He's tied for the ACC lead in touchdowns scored. He leads the ACC and leads the country in average yards per carry. Probably would have led the ACC in rushing had he got 100 more carries, but that's just the way it goes. You know, Dabo trying to save his running back for later in the season instead of during the season.
Willie V, this begs the question, and, you know, there's no wrong answer here. Travis Etienne named ACC Player of the Year, as we've just discussed. Were you a little surprised that Trevor Lawrence wasn't ACC Player of the Year? Who did you vote for, if you don't mind telling us?
Well, I'm not on this one. This is
a
blue ribbon panel, so
Willie V, you have a blue ribbon in our mind. We'll get you a blue ribbon.
Thank you. Just tell the people at ACC that next time you see them, and that'll be great. But yeah, they only select a few people from the media and then of course the coaches and then a few people, sports information directors and stuff like that vote in it. So anyway, I think Trevor definitely probably should have, you know, been I would think, to me, I thought Trevor would finish second to Travis. I really did. So I was surprised that he wasn't that way. And but I can understand it too from what we just talked about a little bit earlier. You know, let's be honest, Clemson's winning games by 30, 35, 45, 52 points. People aren't watching Trevor Lawrence play, because by the time that they turn on the TV, Clemson's already up by 30 points. So they go ahead and turn it off again and turn something else. So a lot of those voters probably aren't looking at it the way that maybe it should, which is, you know, don't just look at statistics, pay attention to the games, watch the games and understand, okay, Trevor Lawrence is only playing two quarters per game. Maybe he probably would have thrown 64 touchdown passes this year if he played all four quarters. You know, so I think it's just a matter of, I hate to say it this way, but there's probably some laziness and people didn't look up they just looked at statistics only and thought that's what they needed to go by. And if you do that, then of course, you know, I think people aren't going to put him in there as player of the year, because they're going to look at the interceptions and see, oh, well, he only threw 32 touchdown passes. Sam Howell threw 35, you know. And so, you know, they're going to look at it that way instead of actually, well, he only played two quarters a game.
Interesting. I 100% agree with that, Willie B., everything you just said. All right, let's go to the playoff now, because I was under the impression that Clemson still needed to win against Virginia. And maybe it's the idea that Clemson's not going to lose to Virginia, and we know this is true. I thought it was insanity, and I had to back it up and listen again when Reese Davis said last night that he thought Clemson was in even with a loss. Do you think Clemson is a lock for the playoff right now, win or lose against Virginia in the ACC championship game?
No, I don't. If that was the case, then Clemson would have ever been number five to begin with in the college football playoff rankings, if that was the case. And so that told me that there's some people in that room that still don't think Clemson is the best team in the country. And if Clemson were to lose, those same people will raise their hands and make sure that they point that out to everybody. So I don't think that's the case. I think Clemson's got to win to get in. It is what it is. I think, you know, I see it all the time on Twitter. You know, if you're not a Clemson fan or a person in the ACC media or anything like that, you know, all you see are the scores and how bad the conference is. But you don't really look at it the way that everybody who's watched Clemson all year has looked at it. And that is that they just see, well, they played a horrible schedule and they're only a benefactor of their schedule, instead of paying attention to how they're winning games and how good they are and how they look And I think because of that, the committee would probably not give Clemson that benefit of the doubt, and they would fall, I think, to probably into number five or six if they were to lose this game.
Very interesting stuff, Willie V. We appreciate you coming on with us today. I'm sure you're looking ahead to Charlotte. You're excited to be up there. Just give us a quick preview. I think a lot of people have their expectations for what's going to happen on Saturday in Charlotte against Virginia. What do you expect to happen against the Wahoos?
Well, I think this is going to be, first of all, I think Clemson's going to win. I mean, let me start off by that, but I don't think this is going to be a 35-40-point win as it has been in these other games Clemson's been playing. And the reason I say that, Kelly, is because Bronco Mendenhall is one of the best X's and O coaches that you're going to find. His teams are well-coached. They very rarely get out of position. They're always in the right position to make plays. Now, they don't have the athletes that Clemson does. So there's no doubt about that. And Clemson, as we know, is well-coached as well. But because they're a well-coached team, it's not just going to be go down there and throw the ball up and see the things that you see sometimes Clemson do against teams. I think it's going to be they're going to have to work for it. I think Clemson's going to have to play a good game. They can't go up there and be sloppy and just show up and think they're going to win. I just think Virginia is just too well coached to get blown out in that capacity. I do think Clemson wins by like maybe 21 to 24 points, something of that nature. But I think I'm hearing people thinking it's going to be like 29 or 30. I think the line is 29.5. To me, I think that line is a little too high. If I was betting on this game, I would definitely take Virginia right now because I don't think Clemson's going to cover this week, and that's no disrespect to Clemson. That's more of a compliment to the kind of team they're going to play this week. This is a pretty darn good football team, and I think they're going to go out there and play hard and compete with Clemson for a little while.
Awesome. Willie V, we appreciate it. Thanks very much. Follow him on Twitter, at Steeler Will. Check out all kinds of great coverage at ClemsonInsider.com. I'll shamelessly plug, last week, Kelly Gramlich was the on-the-beat guest of Will Vannevort. This week, I'm the on-the-beat guest, so it's a twofer OOB. Go back and watch those. You won't regret that choice. We always have a good time. And that'll lead you to a bunch of other great content on TCI. Thanks, brother. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, man. And thanks for the plug, man. We'll talk to you later. Kelly, by the way, you did a great job last week. I still put you just a little ahead of Quark.
Thank you, Willie B. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm Utah Quarks, right. Oklahoma.
All right.
There you go.
Unbelievable. All right, Willie V, thanks
Quark,
very much.
Don't feel bad. I'm Utah. No one wants anything to do with me. No one wants to see me play. No one cares.
You know what? We care because you're the one that has the hump day headlines. And we're going to get to that when we come back. 654 Roar is the number. We'll get to new hour three in just a moment.
Mellow Mushroom Clemson is much more than awesome pizza. If you need catering for the holidays, our catering menu is full of goodies like fresh salads, sandwich platters, and our amazing pasta salad. It's ideal for holiday parties, graduation parties, and employee appreciation parties. And in the spirit of giving, get a Mellow Mushroom Clemson Holiday gift card, and you'll receive a $5 bounce back for more savings. Happy holidays from Mellow Mushroom, 1007 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
Hey, Upstate, Bunky Gandy here for Ralph Hayes Toyota. You know, winning is an intentional plan put in place with consistent application. And as we enter into the championship phase, as Dabo calls it, our Tigers are poised to do just that. Well, Ralph Hayes Toyota, we're doing the same. As Toyotathon gets ready to kick off, it's the best time of the year to buy a new Toyota. Check us out on our website at RalphHayesToyota.com, or better yet, come and see us at 3525 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Remember, you save when you shop at Ralph Hayes.
It may be getting cold outside, but the prices at the Mattress Outlet in Seneca are always hot. With several options in both Serta and Beautyrest, you're sure to find a mattress that's perfect for you. Save up to 70% when shopping the outlet and take your new mattress home today. Don't miss out on their year-end savings. Come shop, and you can be cozy and warm for the holidays. The Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located across from Chick-fil-A in the old Walmart building.
Stadiums are getting ready for football. Food stands are being stocked. Fans are planning their tailgates. What you don't realize is that most of these things have come from a warehouse where they've been lifted, loaded, and stored by one of G&W's equipment's forklifts. G&W is the upstate's authorized dealer for CAT, Mitsubishi, and Young Heinrich forklifts, including parts, service, and rentals. G&W offers a complete line of material handling solutions for every application. To learn more, go to gwequip.com. Go Tigers!
CBD benefits are well known, but not all CBD is equal. At your CBD stores, our products are certified quality organic hemp. Your CBD store products are third-party tested for purity, and we offer a variety of products, from water solubles, topical creams, and oil drops, to pet products. Visit your CBD stores in Greenville at 2111 Augusta Street, 1461 Woodruff Road, and 2603 North Pleasantburg Road. In Spartanburg at 1450 W.O. Ezel Boulevard. Your CBD stores, where good health hits home. Go Tigers!
Real estate transactions are big life decisions. You need a local on your side with the best backing and knowledge of luxury real estate in the upstate. If you want the best customer service, communication, and negotiating skills, Mike Kingsmore and Justin Winter Sotheby's International Realty has you covered. Mike's family name engraved on Doug Kingsmore Stadium in Clemson ensures an honest and fair real estate transaction. Email Mike today for answers to your real estate questions, mike@justinwinter.com.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
How long are we supposed to do this? I'm getting hungry.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric.
Hour three continues Out of Bounds. William Quagamish, Kelly Gramlich, we are live. I'm in Iowa City, Iowa. Kelly is back in the Priority One Security Studios. In our final segment, we're going to have the intern questions of the week with Andrew and Katie, and I'll be the lone voice of reason. So that'll be fun for everyone. Kelly, you've got some more Hump Day headlines, and we really need those because we're not going to be able to make it without them. Without further ado, folks, the remainder of Hump Day headlines.
It's happening. Now, Kwok, I will do a shameless plug. Tonight, you're going to remind the people what time the game is tonight. I believe it's 9 o'clock Eastern, is it not?
9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Okay. It's on Big Ten Network, I believe.
Yes, it is.
If you want to sync the radio call. But if you want a visual with it, it'll be on Big Ten Network. But we'll start at 8:45 Eastern with Jim Davis and me on
so
the
one
Clemson
legend
Network.
And you. But it'll still be great.
That's right. ACC legend and me,
Yeah. Which
is basically what happens when I call things. ACC legend and William Quackenbush.
Well, and I have to leave a segment early because I'm heading down to Tallahassee. I'll be on the call of the Michigan State, Florida State, Big Ten ACC Challenge game on ACC Network tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern. So if you want to tune in, these are two top 20 teams. Michigan State is number 18 in the country. Florida State is 8. So I'm really, really excited for this game. So would love for people out there to tune in. Let's get to some Hump Day headlines, Kwok. I promised you Greg Schiano news because that's what we do this show for, is to
Greg
just
Schiano's.
Keep people updated. Yes. Greg Schiano news. Well done.
Yes.
From CBS Sports, Greg Schiano's 8-year contract at Rutgers includes some sweet perks. Now, we know that Schiano was previously at the program for 10 years, 01 to 11, and led them to some success there. Of course, they weren't in the Big Ten yet. His new contract will pay him $4 million annually. That's just 10th in the Big Ten. But he also has some perks. The program will construct a new indoor football facility, which will put Rutgers on par with some larger Big Ten programs. So that's a good thing for him as well. Schiano will also have a private jet if private funding is available, or first-class commercial airline tickets to meet with recruits all around the country whenever he needs to go. And then from a personal standpoint, Schiano will have an annual country club membership and initial initiation. That's literally the word structure here. He will also receive a private suite for 20 guests at home games, as well as 20 more premium level ticket. So Rutgers throwing in some perks. Excited for Shiano to get into the country club and to have a private jet basically whenever he wants. Do you think that the perks were necessary for Shiano, and specifically that indoor practice facility? I think that was necessary for him.
Yes. Here's the deal. If you believe the reporting, Shiano was going to sign this thing and then balked because the AD didn't seem like he really wanted him all that much. And because he was sort of demanding, hey, if you want to catch up in the Big Ten, here's what you got to do. I've heard a number of people talk about Shiano and say, look, Rutgers thinks he's going to bring him back to 2006, but this ain't 2006. This ain't the Big East, and this ain't the same Rutgers. And he's right. Well, whoever brings that up, is right. The landscape of Rutgers athletics has changed dramatically since Greg Schiano took the job the first time, and since he left like 7 years ago, whatever, to go 8 years ago, whatever it was, to go and be the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Schiano understands that changing landscape, particularly from the Big East, because he spent time in a place that has stuff, at Ohio State, and he understands the gap. Now, he's not trying to say that Rutgers needs to spend like Ohio State, but he is saying that these other things need to happen. Some of these other inducements need to happen. These new facilities need to be built. It's not enough, and I saw one thing that said that they would look into an indoor practice facility or a standalone building or whatever it is. To me, that's not enough. You have to commit the resources to be successful, or he said, I'm not coming. And I do think it's interesting that the nature of this undertaking is going to be long because he got an 8-year contract from them at $4 million a year. 8 years is a long, long time to hire a football coach at a program that's not going to take some years to build up its infrastructure and build up its salary pool and things like that. So I think Shiano is going about this the exact right way. He understands that he can't walk into the Rutgers he left and be successful, that they've got to actually operate in good faith on their part. I like the way this contract is set up, to be honest, for Shiano and for Rutgers. And if Rutgers is willing to do these things, I don't think there's any reason why they can't be successful. I read a thing today. They won 8 games in their first year in the Big Ten East. They won 8 games overall. They went 3-5 in the league or whatever. What, 3-6? I can't remember what it was. I think it was 3-5 at the time. Yeah, they had a good team. Also, Saquon Barkley was a Rutgers commit at one point. I think it was the Stuart Mandel mailbag on the Athletic. Saquon Barkley was committed to go to Rutgers at one point. And then the rug got pulled out from under Kyle Flood. He had a bunch of guys arrested. He tried to change the players' grades. They had all that meltdown.
Just
and
some
that's
small
when they got
issues.
Chris Ash. Right, and then they didn't care for a few years. So I think it's doable for Rutgers to get back in that zone. The Indiana, Maryland. Like, you can be in the same group with Indiana and Maryland and Michigan State. I just don't think that's too high of a hurdle to jump over if you're Rutgers.
I agree, but you have to invest. You have to invest money to see a reward there if you're Rutgers, and I think hiring Shiano is a good first step for them. Elsewhere in college football, Kwok, also from CBS Sports, Auburn fined $250,000 by the SEC for rushing the field after their win over Alabama. $250,000. Boom. Fined.
Worth it. Totally worth it. I understand that you have to do this, but there almost needs to, like, it wasn't frivolous that what they did.
Well,
there needs to be a way. Yeah, go ahead.
There's more on this, and it's really interesting why the number is so big, because generally if you see a school being fined, you don't see a number like this. So what happened is it's their third offense. So they were fined initially for the kick six in 2013. The SEC actually fined them for rushing the field after the kick six. And then they were fined in 2017 when they beat Alabama. So anytime they beat Alabama at home, they've been fined. Per the SEC's new rules put in place in 2015, a school will be fined $50,000 for their first offense in a fan storming situation. Storming the competition area is what they call it. The second time, they're fined $100,000. And the third time, they're fined $250,000. So that's why the number was so high, is because every time they beat Alabama, they lose money. Not really, because they make a lot of money. But they lose money because they're fined every time. Additionally, Auburn basketball was also fined in 2016 for storming the court after beating Kentucky as well.
Interesting. I knew that there was a scale on that, but I wasn't sure what it was. So I'm glad that you nailed it down for us. Again, it's totally worth it to have that type of celebration. I mean, they rolled Toomer's Corner with about $250,000 worth of toilet paper, too, after the game. I don't know if you saw that. There was a video, I think Auburn may have put it up, or somebody did on social media, that said Toomer's Corner is a winter wonderland, and they had some, like, nice Christmas music behind it. I don't know if that was somebody added the Christmas music later and put it up there, but, yeah, the Toomer's Corner was completely covered in toilet paper there as they got all over the trees. I think there are frivolous field/court stormings, and then there's beat your rival, who's a national power that you haven't been able to beat very much.
Well, when you look back at the history of the field stormings, it sure looks like Auburn beats Alabama in Auburn every year. So
well, that's true. And you know what? They at least half the time they're able to win those games. And three of the last 4 years.
Well,
they've now won the game at Auburn.
We looked up this stat the other day that Nick Saban has yet to beat a ranked Auburn team in Auburn, which is still crazy.
That's kind of weird.
That's a crazy stat. Yeah. Okay.
Because you know they play LSU at LSU and they never give up any points. So that's a big difference. You go on the road, you lose to Auburn, you go to LSU and never give up any points against your two big rivals in the SEC West.
I still, like you said, worth it. I'm sure it was worth it for Auburn. I really hope, though, that all those, it turned out to be majority females, all those females that ended up trapped in those bushes around Auburn Stadium, around Jordan-Hare, I really hope they're okay. Because there was one video of that girl that went into the bush, and we haven't seen her yet. She's still in there. Have you seen that video? I worry for her.
Yes. I'm very concerned for the safety of this individual. Very, very concerned.
Okay, one more headline for you, and then we have a story out of Florida. I got to be honest. I was Googling Florida Man today, and the first three pages were utterly depressing and terrible and made me want to cry for humanity because it was so bad. But a listener actually just texted me this on the Health Care text line, and we're going to go with this one because the other one had to do with some terrible drugs, and I just worry about kids in the car. Like, it was still funny, but I don't want to have to say that word if there are kids in the car, because I've already ruined Santa for a lot of kids when I said they had to get their letters in super early. And, you know, it's still fine. You can get your letter in really pretty late in December. This story actually has to do with a Florida dog. So we'll get to that in just a moment.
Boy.
Our final headline comes to us from ESPN. We haven't really talked about this, Kwok. We've mentioned it a few times. But the Lakers are 18-3. The Lakers are 18-3. That is really impressive. And last night, Anthony Davis had 25-10, and he was so sick. He has the flu. He had to get an IV at halftime and continue to play. Apparently, the Lakers have a big flu problem on their team. The flu is going through the roster. And Anthony Davis, he was sick on Monday, didn't even go to practice, stayed in bed all of Tuesday leading up to tip-off, but still played in a game versus the Nuggets, had 25-10, got an IV at halftime. The Lakers are 18-3. I feel like we've clowned Anthony Davis for most of his professional career, and this is a really cool story and maybe does show his true character. So I thought this was really interesting.
This guy has been rocking it. The last four games, he's been their leading scorer and leading rebounder. And here's something that I'm not sure that I've never experienced this, but I'm not sure that I fully comprehend how difficult this is. You have the flu, and you've got a team of people who have the flu. You go to the Mile High City with the flu.
Right, yeah.
Needing an IV at the half. And not just playing a game, but playing a game at Denver, who's a good team, to come out with 25-10, LeBron James dropping dimes. He has had double-digit assists like almost every game this year. The way he's moved the ball on this team is remarkable, and his teammates are knocking down shots. I think that's an underrated aspect of what LeBron James is doing right now. He's scoring a bunch, but he is assisting at an outrageous clip currently. They are rolling. My issue with the Lakers before the year was not that their top group playing together wasn't maybe the best in the league. I just wondered about injury issues with Davis and injury issues with LeBron, and I thought the roster construction was much better, and I thought Frank Vogel would tap into their roster because he's a really good basketball coach. If you see what they can do when they're healthy. We'll just see if they can continue to stay healthy. And then, oh, by the way, every time they play the Clippers, who are very concerned with load management right now, we will make that an NBA Finals preview of sorts. And, oh, by the way, Christmas Day is the next time that they link up.
That's
7 o'clock,
be fun.
Or I think it's actually 8 o'clock ABC. My readings are weird right now because I'm in a weird time zone. But yeah, they've only played the Clippers once. We'll see what happens. They play to come. Because to me, it's coming down to seven games in the Staples Center for the Western Conference.
That's going to be a really fun matchup. And Sequoc, if you were in Central Time, you'd get to watch that game at 7 and not 8. Think about it.
That's true. That's
it's
such
so
a good
great.
Point.
And you're going to be in that post-Christmas dinner food coma, and so you're probably going to go to bed a little earlier. Even you.
I don't know. Look, if you got Clippers-Lakers, I'll probably find a way.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying you could watch it at 7 and not 8.
Oh, yeah. The Central Time Zone. Did you see the James Harden dunk that was disallowed last night? They lost by 2.
And the Rockets are asking if they could take the loss away or replay the game or something.
I'll be honest. I never seen anything like that. And I'm not even sure how we were talking about that at breakfast. I'm not even sure how to explain that to people on air, how James Harden dunked the ball through the basket. And it, like, ripped through the net and up and then back out, and they disallowed the basket, even though it should have been good by rule, and then the Rockets lose by 2. You need to go see it. I wish we could describe it somehow, but it needs to be seen to be explained.
It does. And something that doesn't need to be seen to be explained, because it really can't be explained, is our Florida man story.
Yes.
But it's actually about a Florida dog, and this is, here's the headline, Florida dog trapped in car, drives in circles for an hour. This is just absolutely crazy. In a cul-de-sac.
Oh, my goodness.
It was in a cul-de-sac. In a cul-de-sac in Port St. Lucie, neighbors watched in confusion as a dog named Max managed to lock himself in his owner's car Thursday morning, accidentally put it in reverse, and drive in circles for nearly an hour.
Are you kidding me?
A neighbor says, first I thought I saw somebody backing up, but then they keep going. And I'm like, okay, what are they doing? And the cops came and they checked it out. The black Labrador Retriever was reportedly left in the running car around 8 a.m. on Thursday morning after the owner made a wrong turn and left to check on something. What is that? That's when Max somehow hit the stick shift and put the 03 Silver Mercury Saab in reverse. It began looping around with its doors locked, according to the Sun Sentinel. Sable said that the car then went backwards where it careened onto someone's lawn, crashing into a mailbox before the cops could intervene. Everyone said the dog is okay. It was absolutely funny. Then these neighbors who see the car and then see this dog just pop out of the car and no human. I can't imagine putting yourself in that situation. And the neighbor who witnessed this, her final quote in the article, she said, they should give that dog a driver's license. He drives better than some people I've seen on the roads out here.
Oh, Florida.
Hey, Max. Max the lab.
Couple things here. First of all, was he checking on a screening of the movie Titanic? Like, what did you leave the car run to check on that you weren't back in an hour, first of all?
I don't know. And you just leave
your dog.
Second
of all, how do you drive in a perfect circle around a cul-de-sac and then randomly, like, did the dog jerk the wheel? Like, how do you all of a sudden end up in a mailbox if you've been going around for an hour in a circle? That's what I'm trying to figure this out. I have no idea how this is working.
Quok, I have seen the video of this. I saw this video on Twitter, and it is the most outrageous thing ever. There's like a circle of people standing around the car, and there's a dog in the passenger seat just doing circles, and they don't know what to do, so it's like 20 people with their hands on their hips, just like, well, there he goes.
There goes Max. Because he's locked in the car. You can't tell the dog.
They're just watching him.
They're just watching him.
Hey, y'all, come and watch this. Come and watch this. Man, it's all up in Leslie's yard. Oh, man.
He is going really slow. So Max was trying to be cautious.
What is that? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Kelly, that's a great punctuation. That's a great punctuation.
The police are approaching the car, and they just don't know what to do.
they don't know what to do because you can't tell the driver to get out.
Okay, I think I said this wrong. It's a Mercury Sable, S-A-B-L-E.
Well, that's different from a Saab, I got to say.
Saab.
That's different.
Yeah, it's not a Saab. I've never heard of a Mercury Sable, but that's what Max drives, so.
Great office reference here. Maybe it's pronounced Sable.
Maybe it is.
Instead of Sable.
Maybe it's one of those fancy vehicles, Quok. I don't know.
One of them fancy ones.
All right. I got to roll.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly.
Really fun.
We appreciate it. Hey, safe travels. Good luck tomorrow night on the call.
I appreciate it. Good luck tonight on the call. And good luck with our wonderful interns for this last segment.
We'll give you that last segment coming up next. Stay with us.
Be sure and join Coach Amanda Butler and your Clemson women's basketball team all season long in Little John Coliseum. The next game is coming up soon, and tickets are available and can be purchased right now on ClemsonTigers.com. tickets are only $6 for adults, $4 for youth and seniors. 12 and under receive free admission. So check out Clemson Women's Basketball for some great family fun, and we'll see you soon in Little John Coliseum. Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville, and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Lunch is best when it's Bojangles. If it's lunchtime, it's Bowtown.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Mike Kingsmore, real estate agent with Justin Winter Sotheby's International, is here to provide you with knowledge and expertise as an upstate local to help you buy or sell your next home. Email Mike at justinwinter.com for answers to all of your real estate questions today.
Have you been looking for Christmas decor that lasts both live and artificial? Country Boys has been serving the upstate for over 30 years. Is a top 100 independent garden center in the United States and voted best in the upstate. Whether it's trees, wreaths, garland, ribbon, bows, or ornaments, Christmas decor at Country Boys has the quality and selection you are looking for. They even have a whole selection dedicated to the Clemson fan. Visit Country Boys, the one-stop shop on Woodruff Road and Wade Hampton Boulevard, and make this season merry and bright.
Want to make a difference in our community but don't know how? Now's your chance to make money while helping others at BioTest Plasma Center in Clemson. New donors earn $250 for 5 donations. Repeat donors earn up to $360 per month. Walk-ins are welcome. Need a ride? BioTest is 5 minutes from campus and on the CAT bus route. Become a superhero and save lives. Schedule your appointment at BioTestPlasma.com or in person at 500 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson next to Gold's Gym.
It's auction time again, Friday, December 6th. Johnny King Auctioneers is conducting a court-ordered absolute liquidation of a landscape tree company in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Commercial trucks, chippers, tractor, excavator, trailers, commercial mowers, and other landscape tree-related equipment. Everything sells to the highest bidder regardless of price. Visit jkauctions.com to view photos and details of this auction. A great opportunity to make needed purchases before end of year for tax purposes. Spend Friday with us and you're over halfway to Charlotte for the championship game. Go Tigers!
Diamonds and Gold Direct in Anderson has been named Anderson's best jewelry store 5 years in a row. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's best. See their specials of the month featuring diamonds, emeralds, and cultured pearls. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's best jewelry store, Main Street, across from the mall.
Mice and rats are more active and bigger nuisances this time of the year. They want to be cozy in your home where it's nice and warm. We're here to kick them out. At Clark's, we specialize in keeping them where they belong. Call today to schedule an assessment on your home for rodent activity and possible entry points. Don't forget that we have one of the most detailed pest control services in the industry and also offer termite and wildlife control services. Call 864-233-2847 or visit clarkspest.com today.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Okay, whoever wants to talk, go ahead.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones. Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone.
Final segment of the program. Glad to have you with us. William Quagamus, Kelly Graham. Appreciate Kelly's contributions back in the Priority One Security Studios. And we're going to get to our intern questions of the week in just a second. First, I want to remind you that TCC Verizon's having a huge sale for a limited time. Buy one iPhone 11, 11 Pro, 11 Pro Max, XS, or XS Max, and get a free iPhone 11. buy one Google Pixel 4 and get one free, or buy any Samsung Galaxy S10 or Note 10 and get an S10e on us. Save big this season at the TCC Verizon in Central, in the Walmart parking lot, Powdersville in the Bilo parking lot on 153, Anderson on Highway 81, Tacoa by the Walmart, and Belton. Mention WCCP to get half off any car charger or screen protector. And a reminder, guys, that Christmas is coming up. And listen, here's a question for you. What's the one thing she's always wanted but you've never been able to give her? It's the perfect night's sleep. This Christmas, you can book her a ticket to Dreamland with the new Cloud Fine Pajamas from Pajamagram. Cloud Fine Pajamas are made of a fabric so finely knit and delicately brushed, she'll swear she's sleeping on a cloud. This is the one gift she really needs, because Cloud Fine Pajamas will help her feel better, feel sexy, and look beautiful. She's going to sleep great in this, I can promise you. They're sure to make her bedtime dreams come true. And when you see how fine she looks in them, your dreams will come true too. Plus, every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. That's like icing on the cake for you, because that means you don't have to wrap a thing, which is great. I can speak from experience. You wrap it for me, I'm getting that gift. They're also backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, so you risk nothing, and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed. So this year, give her what she really needs, a great night's sleep with the heavenly comfort of Cloud Fine Pajamas. Here's what you do. It's simple. Go to Pajamagram.com right now. That's Pajamagram.com, and be sure to tell them that Quawk sent you, or Kelly sent you, or OOB sent you, or WCCP sent you. Tell them that we sent you, because that's how they know that you heard it here. That's how you support the show. All right, time now for our intern questions of the week. We'll start with Andrew, because Andrew's already contributed to the show with a great theory about the Panthers in the first segment, and so we'll book in the show with him. Andrew, what is your question of the week for us?
My question of the week is, which is the most attractive head coaching opening in college football?
Oh, which is the most attractive head coaching opening in college football? Right now, of the open jobs, it seems like Clay Helton staying at USC. That would have been number one. We don't know who's taking Florida State. That could change, because honestly, I'm not sure that Penn State isn't a better job than Florida State empirically. I'm not sure that I wouldn't value it a little bit higher. I understand that there are some benefits for Florida State in terms of the league and so forth. I think it's Florida State. I mean, I just think it's a job that you can finish second sleeping in the division of Florida State. I know beating Clemson is going to be difficult right now, but it was difficult for Clemson to beat Florida State, you know, 20 years ago. And then, you know, it over time, the worm turned a little bit with some good hires and some deterioration and staff defections and all that stuff. It's not that difficult, I'll say this, to envision a scenario where in 10 years Clemson and Florida State are peers, or Florida State's back on top of Clemson. Now, I'm not, you know, some things would have to change, and a lot can change in 10 years. But Florida State, to me, is still one of those jobs that you can compete for national championships there with the right staff and with a good recruiting footprint and good relationships in the state and so forth. So I'm going Florida State. Andrew, based on what's available right now, I'm not even sure it's close. What's your answer there?
No, I agree. I mean, looking at the other ones, notable ones like Ole Miss and Missouri, I just think Florida State is the best opportunity for quick success, if that makes sense. You can step in the ACC, as we know, is sort of weak. So with the right situation, you can jump in and win ball games immediately. So I think that's if I were a head coach on the market, that's the one I'd be looking at.
All right, and then intern Katie, question number two, our intern questions of the week. What you got, Katie?
My question is, who makes a return to college coaching first, Bob Stoops or Urban Meyer?
Oh, now that is a good question. I think, oh boy, neither is not an option, so I have to pick one. My guess is Urban Meyer. And the reason I'm going to say Urban Meyer is because I think Bob Stoops is a definite no. Bob Stoops is coaching the XFL right now. And the only difference between coaching the XFL and coaching in college is the grind of recruiting. And I don't know if you're 50-something years old and you can coach and not have to recruit, why you would go back to a situation where you now have to recruit and you're going to face expectations and all that stuff. In the XFL, you don't have to deal with that. And, you know, I'm assuming that the XFL is viable for a few years. I think Stoops has that opportunity. Now, as far as Urban Meyer is concerned, I just think the nature of Clay Helton's situation at USC is so interesting. And maybe that's not a job that Urban Meyer would want right now. Maybe Brian, you know, look, if Brian Kelly for some reason goes to Florida State, Urban Meyer's name is going to pop up at Notre Dame. Maybe he gives that a look. I don't think he would go just anywhere. I think it would take a job like USC or a job like Notre Dame, not just a powerhouse, but a traditional name in the sport to lure Urban Meyer back. I'm going to say Urban on that just because I'm that convinced that Bob Stoops is out. Katie, what's your thought on this? Who would you say?
I would also say Urban. I really just feel like the Notre Dame job is going to open up soon, and I really feel like that is something that he would want, and that's what he would do and go take a job at Notre Dame or even USC, but especially Notre Dame.
Interesting. Very interesting. Good questions, interns. I like it. And I'm glad we're on the same page on those. That's really good stuff. In our final few minutes, this is an update. This is a football scoop update from Missouri. And on tomorrow's show and maybe a little bit on Friday, we'll talk about some of these openings and which of these decisions we thought were weird. I think that the decision to move on from Barry Odom was a little bit weird for Missouri. And looking at this list of candidates, there's a few of these I like for Missouri and generally, and a few of these that I don't like generally or for Missouri. These are the list that sources are telling Football Scoop. And I'll just go through them one by one and say whether I would or would not hire them if I'm Missouri. This is what it says. This is Zach Barnett from Football Scoop. Sources told Football Scoop that these are the list of candidates for the Mizzou job. Central Michigan's Jim McElwain. I would not hire McElwain back into the SEC East. I would not do it. You saw up close and personal what happened with Florida. You beat Jim McElwain's Florida teams. You don't need that. If you're going to hire McElwain back, although he's got Central Michigan as an unlikely participant in the MAC championship game, I don't want McElwain back in the SEC East at a school with fewer resources and that's less viable as a contender than the school that just fired him. Tulane's Willie Fritz, who I would hire if I was any of these schools, Arkansas, Ole Miss, really anybody. Quite honestly, Willie Fritz would be a steal. And I guess the issue with Willie Fritz is that he's never coached at a high major. But he's coached at every level. He's kind of worked his way up and built relationships on a recruiting trail. This is a guy that has a pretty doggone good resume when it comes to turning programs into winners. Tulane, they've lost their last three coming down the stretch, so maybe a bit of the shine has worn off of him here lately. But this is a very, very good football coach. He has built Tulane into a program that wins now. He has run an option. And then he has moved from the option to more of a traditional, like, RPO-type offense with still quarterback run game. But he's an option coach that's forward-thinking and progressive. I like Willie Fritz a lot. I said that I thought Willie Fritz would be a good hire at Georgia Tech, and I think he would be a really good hire at a place like Arkansas. If you remember, the last time Arkansas was really, like, captivating the nation's attention, they ran an interesting offense that featured a bunch of running backs and a quarterback that was probably more talented than what they asked him to do. But it was Gus Malzahn's first year as a college offensive coordinator with Mitch Mustain, Felix Jones, Darren McFadden, Peyton Hillis. I think Willie Fritz could do something like that at Arkansas. Skip Holtz from Louisiana Tech, that would be an interesting one to see in the SEC East with Missouri. Troy Calhoun and Jeff Monken are on this list, option coaches. I don't think Missouri will respond well to the option at all. And we saw with Kendu Matalolo that Arizona revolted, even though he would have been a much better coach at Arizona than Kevin Sumlin has been. They revolted at the idea that he would run the option there, even though he said he wasn't married to the option. It's hard to divorce academy coaches from the option, and I think it's hard when you saw Paul Johnson run the exact same thing at Georgia Tech. Nobody wants that anymore, and really none of these coaches are doing it. I don't think Calhoun is doing it or Monken's doing it or even Imanalolo because they solely believe in that offense. They're more doing it because that's what they feel like they need to do at the service academies to be successful. A good football coach is going to find a way to mix and match and make it work, and I think both those guys would do that. They're very good football coaches. And in Charlotte's, Will Healy is on that list too, and he's one that's been sort of a new name that's popped up. This is a quick riser. Spent a short amount of time at Austin Peay, made them into a winner. Short amount of time at Charlotte, made them into a winner. And again, this is a guy with not a big track record. This has I don't think it's quite the same. This has the Turner Gill feel to it. Remember Turner Gill, who was at Buffalo, that shot up a meteoric rise in the coaching profession. very quickly. He gets the job at Kansas, which that was an awful job for him to take after flirting with Auburn and maybe Auburn's brass and the decision.